You know this, he's going to reign forever. Oh, and oh, Slewfoot, his time is coming. He can't reign forever, can he? Oh, but oh, King Jesus, reign forever. That was beautiful. And Brother Adam, Sister Kason said you were hitting that one. Those drums were working. Amen. Appreciate it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for being with us in this house. We thank you for the salvation that has been provided to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on that old rugged cross. All because you loved us enough to send him to be the means of a reconciliation between God and man. We thank you. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for loving us anyway. We thank you for your great love for us indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's message, saints, is called Hope in His Unfailing Love. Hope in His Unfailing Love. And it comes from a verse that we find in the Psalms 147 and verse 11, which says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Hope can be described as believing with confidence that God's perfect plan for our lives will ultimately happen. Hope is essential for us to live and survive. Rather than drift along hopelessly from one circumstance to another, let us be reminded of the psalmist's encouraging declaration found in Psalms 147 and verse 11. "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Hope in his unfailing love. I am reminded of a time in my life when I had to put some hope in his unfailing love. And as I've seen over the last several months with the oncoming of COVID-19 and all of the changes that have come on this planet as that virus wreaked havoc on people's health, lives, dreams, hopes, employment, there came a sense of depression on so many people. People that we know who either lost loved ones, became ill themselves, or were the victim of having lost their income. It seemed a dark time. And even in this church, as we had to close the doors in accordance with the governor's orders, this church was closed down. Now, we, of course, were able to worship and to pray for one another. We've seen text messages, we've seen letters, we've seen phone calls. Some of us have gone to visit others in a safe manner. We know the impact here that we lost our pastor due to complications with COVID. It was not a happy time. And indeed, we need hope in his unfailing love in times like these. But I thank God that we have a Jesus who reigns forever. He has no problem dealing with life's circumstances, for he indeed is God. And the Father has given him coverage over these times today. But I think years ago, when I could not pass my calculus exams, my calculus test, and I believe I had taken calculus, I can't remember now, but I think it was twice or three times, I can't remember, calculus one. And if you're going to be an engineer, you have to pass calculus. And you could take some of my final grades and you still couldn't come up with a 100. And I had wanted to serve the Lord in the capacity of the superintendent of Sunday school, which was the leadership position there on the campus of Tuskegee Institute, Tuskegee University now. I wanted to do it because I wanted to serve the Lord. It wasn't for glory. It wasn't for fame. I just wanted to serve the Lord. But those calculus tests say that I could not continue in my path. I could have changed my major. I didn't want to do that. I knew that I could do the work of an engineer. At co-op in different places, I knew I could do the work. But I couldn't pass the test. My hope was often crushed when I would come away from a calculus exam knowing I didn't crush that one, but it did crush me. And as I came to the realization that I was going to have to leave school, make some changes, make some plans, on my way to the bus station, one of the young men who I shared Christ with, he was my son in the Lord, he was in tears as he was taking me to the Trailways or Greyhound bus station there in little old Tuskegee. And on the way back, I told him, yeah, you're going to be fine. No, we probably, you know, I might see you, I might not. But even if I don't, you're going to be okay. Stay in the Lord, stay in his word, keep fellowshipping with the saints. You'll be fine. And he said, what was I going to do? And I told him what my plans were, to go back home, go to Shawan College at the time, and take calculus and get back here. What he heard from me was from Jeremiah 29:11, where God said that I alone know the plans that I have for you. It included saying things like, plans not for disaster, right? But that you would have success. I believe that. It was that verse that I kept remembering over the next couple of years. When I got to home and I took the class, I had a 96 average in calculus, which I asked God, why couldn't you do that back in Tuskegee? But I got this notice from the financial department at Tuskegee that said that I had not submitted all of my paperwork for financial aid. And I wrote back and said, and I called and said, but I did. I sent it in, so we don't have a record of it. And I didn't have copies of it. I couldn't do anything. And I became very disheartened and was very crushed on the inside because I wanted to go back to serve the Lord there at Tuskegee. And this car that I had purchased, a 1972 Pinto, that I paid $600 for and had to get it fixed for $612 when the transmission stopped in a road sort of like military highway. And the stick shift, when I was at the light, getting ready to put it in gear, came up in my hand, and it wouldn't go back in. Well, on the way home from one of my Sunday school folks that I was delivering the lesson to, the transmission broke down. I drove home, wasn't very long, small town of 800, 10 miles an hour. And I knew that now I don't have the transportation and I don't have the opportunity to go back to Tuskegee. And I was in sad shape. But I remembered that verse over and over again. I said, it's not the end yet. Because I had some hope in his unfailing love. The short story goes that I did get a chance to go back to school. Some of the people gave me money to go back to school. Some of my people that were ministering with me. And one person took my car from my yard when I wasn't home and took it to a guy down the street who bought a used transmission from second, third, and fourth gear only, but it was a used transmission for $60 and put it in my car. And I was able to drive back to North Carolina A&T State University to complete my degree. So God does help us when we have hope in his unfailing love. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Our first point today is our hope keeps us up when we are down. Our hope keeps us up when we are down. We're looking at Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Hope gives us a reason to keep trusting and to keep trying. Saints, in those difficult seasons wherein we find ourselves, we could choose to lose hope and to give in to despair. We could let situations crush our faith and our confidence in God just when we seem to need him the most. But I tell you that we need to speak out about our hope and our confidence in his sovereign control through prayer, life, and in our everyday conversations with others. In the Epistle to the Romans, the writer reminds us of Abraham's hope in God. Even when things looked bleak regarding God's promise of making him the father to a nation of people. Let's take a look at Romans 4, verse 18. Look what it says. It says, against all hope. How much is all? All. Abraham, in hope, believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, that means the word, so shall your offspring be. God made a promise to Abraham. He called him from the land of Ur and told him that he was going to be the father of many nations, even though he was old when he met him. His wife was old. Let's look at the next verse. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, F-A-C-T, that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Now, I don't know how many folks in here would want to start having children when they're 190 years old. No, we're done with that. Nobody like it now. It's just us. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. But you see, God made a promise to him. Let us look at verse 20. See, one of man's problems concerning the lack of hope is that he becomes so discouraged by the problem he faces that he doubts God is even able or in control to do what God promised. But rather than getting himself down about his situation, about his troubles, about the fact that he was almost 100 and Sarah was about 90, says Abraham's faith reflected a different reaction. Verse 20, look what it says. Yet, that's the kissing cousin of but God. Yet, he did not waver. Y'all know what waver is, right? Going from one side, maybe the other side. No, maybe it's this side. He didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. We have another message coming some point talking about waiting on the Lord. And the Hebrew word for waiting, talking about waiting on the Lord, has to do with binding together three chords, four chords, five chords. When you wait on the Lord, if you see a rope, it's wound with different chords. If there's slack in that rope, it's not bearing a load, but it still has strength because it is banded together. Then when the rock or whatever is holding on to it, and you're holding on to the rope, when you move the weight, all of a sudden, boom, that rope, that cord of many strands is strong because it is bound together, tied together. When we wait on the Lord and that load, that weight comes upon us, it's still strong because it was wound together. And that has to do with the strength. It says, but he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God. Oh, he gave glory to God because he feared. That means he respected. That means he put God up on a pedestal and he loved him. Just as Psalms 147 and verse 11 says. It says, yet he did not waver. In verse 20, through unbelief, regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. In verse 21, being partly persuaded, being somewhat persuaded, I need to put my glasses on, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. He was fully persuaded in the God that he worshiped, that his God had the power to do what God had promised. He stood on God's word and God's promise. Abraham's hope keeps him up instead of being down, being fully persuaded in God's ability to keep his promise. So not only is our hope keeps us up when we are down, but our second point is our hope is tested when circumstances seem out of control. Our hope is tested when circumstances seem out of control. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. How many times, folks, have you heard that familiar phrase? I'm tired of being sick and tired. I bet some of y'all have said that. I know I've said that plenty of times. I'm just plain tired of being sick and tired. It's usually said when somebody is troubled by some personal tragedy, some situation that never seems to go away. People often lose their confidence or their hope in believing that God's love and concern for them is real. The love and concern that God has for their loved one is real. People begin to doubt. It's when God's answer is a no or a wait, we become impatient. We don't want to hear that. We want the answer that we want. We forget that God is sovereign. We don't see that life is getting better, or we fail to experience that justice that we think we deserve from our boss man, from somebody that we know, somebody in our community. Whether you're young or old, we've all been through those things. Hoping to go through another hopeless day is not fun. Oh, but it's in those moments that God may be testing the genuineness of our hope in him. Daniel 3 relates this famous account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their real names, their Hebrew names. The three brave Hebrew boys, they took a stand against a madman king of Babylon, refusing to bow to an idol when the music started bumping, and are thrown into a fiery furnace. When throwing these men into the furnace, the king mocked them and asked, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" As though he was in control. Oh, but Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they had an answer for old Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, which, by the way, is seven times hotter than normal, the God, capital G, OD we serve, he is able to save us from it, and he will rescue, save us from your hand, O King. Remember, he's the one, the king's the one that said, I got it. No, I said, God got it. That's what they said. Let's look at verse 18. But even if he does not, they had some hope from an unfailing God. Oh, but their hope was not just in that situation. Their hope was in him, period. It says, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O King. We want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your little G-O-D-S gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Where was their hope? Their hope was not in their circumstance. Their hope was not in their situation. Their hope was not in their ability to stand there and look priestly and godly. Their hope was in the unfailing hands of a loving God. Our hope is tested when circumstances seem out of control. These men knew the Lord was able to save them from their fiery trial. But even if he did not, it wasn't lost. They had resolved not to compromise their faith. God can deliver us from our trials. The Bible shows us that quite often, but it also shows many times that God delivers us in and through the trials of life. In other words, the Lord uses our test and our afflictions to set us free from the things that bind us and keep us from hoping in him. The Lord delights in those who fear him as they did, who put their hope in his unfailing love, even when circumstances seem to be out of control. And not only is our hope tested when circumstances seem out of control, but our third point is that our hope can be steady in an unsteady world. Our hope can be steady in an unsteady world. And if you don't know what the definition of an unsteady world is, welcome to the spring of 2020. You met it face up, head on. This has been an unsteady world. Woo! Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. When we consider the woes and times of this world through the lens of human hope alone, it is true that many things are possible. We've had medical advances, medical miracles, if you will. We've had technology. We can talk to people that are miles and miles away on different continents with a cell phone. We can write letters without pen and pencil and send it to somebody that we know. Whether it be beating cancer or COVID-19, finally getting the job or the position that we were looking for, or that educational degree that we were striving for. Yes, it's possible for man to have hope in things we wanted or the things that we strive for. But that kind of hope, folks, listen, there's no guarantee associated with that hope. There's no guarantee that those things that we hope for will happen from man's perspective. But for the Christian, oh, we have a different kind of hope. One that is out of this world. It is guaranteed by God himself. In case you didn't know, God cannot lie. Oh, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God, formerly terrorist, and an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ. For what reason? The faith of God's elect. He's serving God's people. And the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Look at verse 2. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of temporal life. Oh, eternal life. Which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. The hope of eternal life, promised by God and deemed even before the foundation of the world. And listen, we know it's true because God does not lie. See, our hope can be steady in an unsteady world because just like those Hebrew boys, they said that if we don't survive the fire, we still gonna trust God and we still not gonna worship your old idol. Oh, there's a hope that can be steady in an unsteady world. The Christian's hope is in the future. No matter what the results of our current lives may come to, we will rejoice like those Hebrew boys, for our hope is settled by the fact of Jesus' resurrection as promised by his word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. There's a reason to praise God. Look what 1 Peter 1 and 3 says. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? In his grace, mercy, great mercy, he has given us a new birth in living hope, not a dead hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Had Christ gone to the cross and died for our sins, and was still in the tomb today, our sins would not be paid for. We would not have eternal life because our sins were still being paid for. Jesus hadn't finished paying for them yet. Oh, but when he rose from the grave, God said, well, the receipt is in my hand. For when he rose from the dead, that was the guarantee that our sins had been paid for. Therefore, because he paid for our sins, you and I, as we trust him and become born again, as Jesus spoke of to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we now have access to heaven and eternal life. The Bible says we've been passed from death to life. We are no longer under the wrath of God, according to John 3 and verse 36. Because when you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, when you trust the work that he did on the cross and the fact that he rose from the dead, we are agreeing with God that our sin debt has been paid and we are his children. We have eternal life. I have eternal life. Even though one day this body will go into a grave, Folks, I still have eternal life. For absent from this body, I will be present with the Lord. If you have anybody that you have lost this season, when their appointed time came and they were believers, folks, absent from their bodies, they are present with the Lord. When my mother passed in 1996, her dream or wish was that I would go back to preaching again. So I did. And her funeral was the first time that I'd spoken from behind a pulpit in many a year. But when her friends came up and said in a loving and meaningful way that we'll be glad to see you at the great white throne, I try to be courteous when I'm in somebody's house. But that was my mama laying in front. My mama won't be in the great white throne. So I explained to them that she won't be able to meet y'all at the great white throne. She went on ahead to be with Jesus. So y'all just gonna have to work that out for yourselves, because she's already at the throne of Christ. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Hope, my friends, can be steady in an unsteady world. Yes, this is the fact that Christians' hope remains steady in this old crazy rocky world. But our hope, in point number four, can be stirred by love. Our fourth point is that love can be stirred by love, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3 says, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Now, we talked about earlier, a cord is made of many strands. Faith, hope, and love are three strands that together bring a unique and wonderful opportunity of strength for us Christians. Johnny Erickson Tata is an evangelical Christian author and a radio host, founder of Johnny and Friends. And if you want to read about her, I would suggest that you put in your web browser, J-O-N-I, Johnny and Friends. It's a wonderful young lady, although she's not young anymore. It says that she has an organization that accelerates Christian ministry in the disability community. She gave her life to the Lord as a teenager, but at some point became rebellious and began to backslide. Her father was an Olympic medalist. She was a very athletic or great swimmer, but in 1967, a diving accident left Joni a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, meaning she had no use of her arms and her legs. Today, she's an internationally known mouth artist. That means she paints with the brush in her mouth. And I've seen her paintings. Now, I've done a few oil paintings in my life, but I'm not as good as she is with her mouth. She's wonderful. She's a vocalist. And again, a radio host. She's got 17 books, and she's the advocate for disabled persons worldwide. I want you to listen to this, though. In an interview with the pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie, I was listening to it, Johnny shared how she struggled to accept God's design in her paralysis. She even shared that were it not for her accident, she would not be the servant that she has become today. She says that she is able to cope with her condition by looking to help and to bless other people. Who may be going through things themselves. As an example of hope and how hope can be stirred up by loving others, I want you to listen to the story that Joni told about a teenager serving in her ministry named Becky. In our Wheels for the World trips, that's where they provided wheelchairs to other young people all over the world. Young people with disabilities don't just receive wheelchairs. Sometimes they go with us to help distribute them. I'm describing my friend Becky. She's a wheelchair user in high school, but Becky has real maturity and a heart to serve. So with the help of her parents and the permission from her doctors, Becky traveled to Romania to deliver and distribute wheelchairs to kids with disabilities. And check this out, folks. The children in Romania, they adored her. They saw her as one of them. Everywhere Becky went, she recited Psalms 139. And if you know someone who has low self-esteem, please read Psalms 139, because this is what it says. It says, she would tell everyone, I thank God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow, what a message for special needs kids and their parents in Romania. All said from a teen who was in a wheelchair, who was giving hope to others by giving love to them. Love is the greatest, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, but faith, hope, and love are interwoven in our Christian experience. Our faith and our hope can be stirred up in our hearts by showing godly love towards others. It's amazing how our hope can be lifted up and become sparked and ignited in us when we take our eyes off of our situation and consider others. And if you don't think that's true, I want you to think about what Christ did. For a conclusion, we know that God delights in those who fear him and have put their hope in the Son of God, despite how hopeless life's circumstances may seem, because trusting in God's promises is real. In time, Christ reached out to help us when we were yet sinners and without hope. You see, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven from an eternal perspective. Unless a person has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will end up in a Christless hell. The man in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes and he found himself in Hades. He was hot. He was burning up, and he asked Father Abraham on the other side of paradise. I don't know how that worked, but somehow he called him without a text message or a phone call. But somehow he talked to him. He said, can you get old Lazarus, that old poor beggar guy who's over there with you, can you tell him to bring me just a drop of water on his finger because it's hot over here? And Abraham said, no, ain't going to happen. Because you on the other side, we over here. there was no hope for that man. And then we said, well, can you send somebody to knock on my brother's door so that they won't come where I am? And Abraham said, no, they got the prophets. They got the word. It's up to them. You see, there's no hope for someone who's already passed and received hell as a payment for not trusting in a loving God. But you see, Christ reached out to help us when we were yet sinners and without hope. And it was out of the unfailing love that the Father has in us that Jesus gave his life for us while his Son, Jesus, his only begotten Son, hung on a cross. Likewise, saints, let the hope that we have in us be sparked, be ignited by demonstrating an unfailing love for others and helping them in their time of need. Folks, there's hope in his unfailing love. There's hope in his unfailing love. And I pray that we will take the words of this message and apply them to our lives. For I will tell you now, all of us need hope in this world today, November 8th, 2020. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for the Son that you gave us, who hung on that old rugged cross. The Son who asked, was there another cup to take? To get away from having to go through the misery and the pain and the suffering that he was about to go through as he shed his blood for us, for the remission of sins. And we thank you, O God, that your response to him was that because of your unfailing love, he had to go to the cross. He had to take that cup. For you wanted us to be restored in fellowship with you. We thank you, God, for the unfailing love that you had that gives us hope, not only for our circumstances today, but also for eternal life. We thank you, oh God, for the hope that you've given us because of your great unfailing love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.